On today's episode of the Man That Can Project, I got to sit down with a great mate of mine, Max Latimer. We spoke all things shifting perspective, taking responsibility for you where your life is currently at, and just ways you can go around or things that you can implement in order to create that change. It was cool hearing Max's experience. You know, he's had many different career changes. He's been in some that have been fulfilling, some that have treated him well financially, and some that he's just got sort of stuck in that rut and just, you know, trying to pay the bills and go through the day-to-day thing, feeling unfulfilled. So there's a lot of life experience that I learned from Max, and I know you guys are going to get some huge gold nuggets from this episode. So make sure you have a pen and paper, because this one is going to give you so much advice, especially for those who are looking to shift your perspective and shift the outcome of your current lifestyle. So tune in, enjoy, and remember, guys, if you're enjoying these podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review, share them, screenshot them on Instagram, tag us, and we'll definitely be wanting to reshare those posts. So have a great listen. And hey guys, welcome back to the Man That Can Project podcast. Today I'm super fortunate to be sitting here with Max Latimer, absolute legend of a bloke. Goes to the same gym facility, same cafe. We have a lot of common interests as well. And I was fortunate enough to catch up for a coffee last week, and I was sitting there with my mouth or my jaw dropped, just listening to his story and some of the challenges that he's been through. And I resonated with a lot of it. And I know you guys are going to resonate with a lot as well. So I asked him to be a guest on the show, and he's, you know, been an awesome bloke and given up his Friday afternoon to share some of his knowledge with us. So Max's core value or core focus now is to help people identify opportunities or opportunity and possibilities in their lives and businesses, and consider new perspectives in the way, a way of being. And really, you know, that's what I got a lot of that from you, just from hearing your story. So Max, welcome on the show.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
And I love to hear a little bit more about it. Yeah. Share with the guys where you came from, how you've got to where you are right now.
Yep. Well, it's an interesting story, sort of getting me at the point where I'm really starting to sort of hit my straps and figure a lot of cool stuff out. You know, which it's no small feat to be able to bring yourself out of that one track mind and perspective to then completely shift and see the world in a different way to get more out of yourself and out of life, especially when everything's looking pretty grim. For me personally, where I came from was pretty similar to a lot of the people I actually hang out with. And you, like they suggest, it's you're a byproduct of the 5 people you hang out with, you spend the most time with. And I hung out with a whole bunch of guys that were in the same position I was from a work perspective. Used to go to work, you'd leave at the end of the day and you'd leave everything at work behind you. You might bring a little bit of stress home from it, but you just didn't give a shit about what you did. Like, you didn't care. And that kind of started to get to the point where you started to resent the job. You started to lay blame on parts of the job, the industry. It was in the car industry, out of all things. And I just started to spiral. And what that represented, or what that sort of manifested itself into, was as I started to spend less time at home. I couldn't wait for Fridays to get here. It'd be drinking, smoking pot, you know, just doing really destructive things. And from the conversation I've had with you, you sort of picked up a few pieces on that about how that sort of resonated with you.
Definitely.
And that sort of highlights the fact to me as well, which is why I am where I am now and got the drive I have now, is that that scenario is so common, it's just nobody's talking about it. And the one thing I started to realize is that inside of that process, when I was trying to figure out, well, at that stage, I'll just sort of digress a little, I didn't actually know what I was doing. And it was actually breaking up my relationship, which was sort of 7-8 years old at that point. You know, it's a lot of time to break up a relationship over something as much as the hate of a job. But I didn't realize it was the job I hated. I just thought that's just what was happening. That's who I was.
Yep.
It wasn't even a realization around, I hate my job, therefore I drink, and I'm spending time with my mates, and that's just who I've always been. It was that's just who I've always been. There was no correlation between the two whatsoever. And that was the tough bit for the people in my life. I don't know if you've had that same thing.
Mate, there's probably a lot of guys listening right now who are having that exact light bulb moment, because I was the same. I'd never saw the correlation between it, that's for sure.
And that's where perspective came from, is that, and that wasn't just like a light bulb that clicked on. My driving core wasn't a value, it was more of a this little ethos that I had running around in my head. And when I was younger, my dad used to say to me all the time is that if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, which is a super cliche thing to say. However, it never left me. And I used to always run that through my head when I was at one job. I'd go, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, love it, then fall out of love with it, and then I'd hate it, and then I'd go into this spiral, and it just kept going for like 10 years. And I went, I know I'm worth more than this, not only to myself, but to others as well. I just don't know what that is. I don't know what my purpose is. So the way I shifted was I had a week away with a mate. It was about 5 years ago, pretty much almost to the date. Wow. And we went over to Bali. Actually, funnily enough, we went and stayed at the retreat that the Function Mob guys had.
Yeah, right.
Wicked spot.
Yeah, perfect.
You guys are listening to this, you should go and check that shit out. It's fucking cool. So, we stayed there, just myself and him. He doesn't drink, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Went surfing, hung out, got home. And as soon as I walked back in, I just went, nah, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. I walked into my boss's office and I quit. So I knew I had to change what I was doing. I didn't know why. I don't know what drove me essentially from that particular point, but something clicked in me.
What was your thought pattern at that point? Because I know there's going to be tons of blokes who are wanting to do that right now. What gave you the courage or the balls to just be like, I have no idea what's coming next, but I've got to get out of here?
I can't. I don't know what it was exactly. I don't know if it was a conversation I'd had. Every now and then I would have conversations with my partner, and it's like you can complain about it and do nothing about it, or you can just shut up, grit it, and bear it.
Yep.
Which is, it's kind of weird. Both are kind of toxic, but one is a far better option than the other. It's like grit and bear it is just that whole thing, you're going to keep going.
Yep.
Because they were the only two options I kind of knew about from my perspective. And then it was that, cool, well, hey, yeah, I am complaining about it.
Yep.
And I'm not doing anything to change my situation. So it was, I've been doing this for 10 years. So the only thing I haven't done was change my situation. So I was like, what would that look like? And then I started to ask myself that question. And not only ask myself, I jumped onto Google. Like, that's how it started. Yeah. I Googled how to make money online. I thought, well, if I'm not doing this, I've got to do something else, but I don't know what I'm good at or what skills I would need or how it would all work. And I literally Googled how to make money online. And it started from there and it just kind of went. Also in that process, I read a book which had zero to do with personal development.
Yep.
It was a book I bought 12 months ago. It was called How to Buy a House for a Dollar. That was the book. So I thought, hey, I'll pick it up and I'll read it because I was interested in, because we bought a house and we had a property.
Yep.
So that was of interest to me. And then from there, I did the Google search. And then from there, I got Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week.
Yep.
And then that book alone, if you're thinking about perspective, that blew my mind. Not from what was in the book as a way or a means to an end to help me figure out what I wanted to do. But what it did was it actually told me, I was like, I didn't know any of this shit existed. And this is one book.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I've been telling myself, I don't read books. Nah, not into that. And then I pick up a book and I learn all this shit I didn't know before, like to the point where I just went, are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
It's like, is that actually,
I think we had that same light bulb moment.
Dude, it was just, I felt so stupid at the same time. But then I also felt like, all right, cool. Now this is a thing. What else don't I know? And then that's where it went from there. So I did the Googling stuff and that turned into learning how to build an online business, which I struggled with massively. I never actually got through to that point where I did that.
Yep.
But one thing I found along the way was I actually figured out how to write sales copy. The cool thing about that was that was kind of the byproduct or the one key skill you needed from, you know, running online courses.
Yeah,
you probably know from all the stuff that you do. You know, there's always something to write. And it's always about helping people understand based on the demographic you're talking to.
Yep.
So I learned how to do that.
It's a valuable skill, that one.
Oh, it's super handy.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what you do. If it's writing a letter to a mate, a text message, or anything, it's always kind of filters through that. And that's where my life completely changed. Was that point when I went, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to go and do this copywriting thing. And I doubled down on it. Went full out. long story short on that side of things is that I kind of spent about 30, 40 grand. I went over to the States.
Wow.
I went for it.
So on that, like, I know financial stress is something that's huge for a lot of men because we feel like we need to be the protectors, the providers, all that sort of stuff. Mm. And obviously you had a house and a relationship.
Yep.
How was it for you to quit your job? I'd say income's gone.
Yep.
Like, because a lot of guys want to make a change, but the excuse, and I'll call it an excuse, is like, I've got to earn money because I've got to live.
Yep.
How did you deal with that, like, with that whole thought pattern around all of that?
Well, one thing I understand, what I did was not, at the time I didn't know what I was doing. I just was low hanging fruit for me. So when I quit, I'd had a good conversation with a mate of mine, and he ran a big tourism company in Cairns, where I was living at the time. And I'd been bugging him to put me on to work for him for a period of time. He goes, dude, you're not going to like it. You're going to sit at a tour desk. You're going to be bored out of your mind for half the year because there's just no one here. And the other half, I mean, yeah, it's all right, but you're still going to be bored. You're going to be sitting there. It's like, dude, you prefer to be out in the field running around or doing what you're doing, which you're really good at. And I listened to that, and I just went, okay, cool, no worries. And then it got to that point, I said, dude, have you got a job for me?
Yep.
I'm happy to sit on a desk and do that, because here's what I'm doing with the copywriting.
Yep.
And I need that outlet. So he said, yeah, you can study at the same time as you are working for me, as long as one doesn't get in the way of the other.
That's awesome.
So that was really cool. And he's one of my best mates. So that was really helpful. Yep. So he helped me out of a spot there. But I suppose the lesson I got from that was that, and again, it's a cliche lesson, which is it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's not from a you get privilege over someone else, but that's you tapping into the people that you have in your life and actually asking them the question, not perceiving that they're going to say no before they say no or yes.
Definitely.
Because there's so many questions that we don't ask of our mates, or stories we don't share with our mates, that they might be dealing with the same thing, or they might need a hand with something, but you're too scared to ask because you're afraid of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And none of that shit's real, because it's just in your head. I mean, the thought's real and the considerations are all potentially real, but it hasn't come to fruition. You haven't actually put it on the court, so to speak, and hit that ball yet. So that was where that transition came from. So I took a cut of about 40, 50 grand.
Yeah, wow.
So I didn't have a car anymore, which was fully serviced, everything. I didn't have to pay for a car when I was at the dealership. So I got rid of all that. And then it was kind of my partner then took a brunt of the load on that one too. So helping her, having the conversation with her was probably the most important step of any of that.
Yep.
So that would be one piece of advice I'd give to anyone, is that you need to be able to share this with the people in your life who are closest, especially when it comes to that decision. They need to be so on board with it, because I hear a lot of guys that they're into their partners, and it's almost like an us versus them mentality.
Yeah, it's weird.
It sucks, and I don't get it. Like, I mean, I get it,
but
same team, man.
Yeah,
like that's the way I look at it.
Yep.
And again, I probably didn't always look at it like that, but now more than ever, it's almost laughable the way I used to be.
Yeah.
Compared to now, and looking back and going, man, why did it take you so long to figure this shit out?
Well, it's interesting, and it's because I, like you said before, the moment you picked up a book and got over the fact that whatever you had against reading,
it's
like, we've now got access. Sorry for all the background noise. Hopefully we'll be able to cut that out. That whatever belief systems we have around reading and stuff, we've got access to so much information. The people who are listening to this as a podcast right now, there's millions of podcasts you can tap into from people with lived experiences, learning experiences, or books you can read. And we, for whatever reason, when I was growing up, I was never told that, hey, you can actually learn this from a book. I only saw books as like a nerdy thing to read, like, you know, Animorphs or I can't even remember what books, Where's Wally? Like, I never saw it as like a educational thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think changing the perspective around how we use those tools to move us forward, because when you think about it, you as an individual now are so in, like, self-aware and intelligent. Every time I talk to you, I learn a lot. But imagine if we were having these conversations when we were 10 years old, like the compounding effect of what we know now.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be phenomenal.
It puts a pretty heavy weight on parents and actually it's the hindsight thing, is that you think about your parents,
yep,
and what they did and didn't do, and I can trace parts of my life, like when I was just going to school, when I was sitting down at the dinner table with mum, working through schoolwork, and I hated schoolwork. It just wasn't for me.
Yep.
And there was a point in that situation where I developed this kickback to schoolwork, which was, fuck it, it's too hard, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
Because my little thing I put in play to sort of get around that was, every time Dad would come home in the afternoon, which is right around when I was doing homework, Dad would come home and we just kick the soccer ball.
Yeah, yes.
And then for the rest of my life, like, everybody knows me from, say, just before, say, I changed, transformed, whatever you want to call it, when I had that sort of perspective shift,
yep,
which we were just talking about, up and from then to when I was about 4 years old, everyone knows me as, you still play football?
Yep.
You still playing soccer? It's like, that's how people knew me.
Yep.
That's how I made friends. And I was quite good at it from, you know, for a level, but that's what people knew me as. And that was my mechanism to get around the schoolwork, because no one would ever say anything to me about schoolwork. Mum and Dad would never throw schoolwork at me as a, like, yeah, they'd get me to do homework,
yep,
and stuff like that, but it wasn't like a, you know, you should be doing more, you should be, like, to help me nurture that sequence.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen, and that's the weight that parents have on them to help their kids understand, or essentially give them options,
yeah,
and opportunities to be able to nurture that through whatever. And easy for me to say that because I don't have kids, but
yep,
it's just, I can see how these decisions now can affect people, like, massively.
100%.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre to kind of come to that and you go, wow.
Massively.
And it wasn't even anything they did that was wrong. It was just, I was doing schoolwork. It's like, that's what you do.
Yeah, we don't get taught though. And once again, I always look back now and I'm like, I wish I really stuck at playing an instrument and stuck at learning a language, because it would, you know, for one, you're going through the process of learning a new skill and,
yep,
you know, you can learn so much just from that, but it would be helpful right now, right? But at the time when they were like, all right, you're doing English or, French or Japanese, I was like, why the hell do I want to do that? They don't put it in a way that it's like, well, this is a life skill.
Mm.
It's more like, this is just another subject to me at the time. So it's putting, and I know we're going to talk about this a lot more, is like perspective on things. And
you're only doing it so that you can pass the test.
Yeah.
And then once I pass the test, then I don't have to do any more tests. This is like, that's the logic of my kid.
Yeah.
My kid was an idiot. This is like, but again, it's not very helpful how it's being pitched either. It's that,
exactly,
the idea and how they play it out.
So let's talk about, I know, and your story is going to be really powerful for this, but blaming the world for your situation and the loss of power it creates. So, mate, I blame the world for so much shit, and I did that until I started taking responsibility. But how's that fit in for you? And I'd love to hear more about, like, the loss of power it creates, because, you know, there's plenty of men out there that are feeling powerless right now.
The loss of power comes from is that as soon as I put the onus on someone else to resolve a problem I have, I can't do anything about it. So if I was trying to think of a good example that I've been through, we'll put it back to when I was working, is that when I was selling cars, started off really well and just crushing it. Didn't know how to do it, learned how to do it, went really well, stopped learning, then went down.
Yep.
And then from there, what seeped in was, it's the economy, it's the weather.
Yep.
You know, it's all these external things that you just can't control, so therefore, hey, it is just what it is. What am I going to do about it? It's like, there is zero power in that.
Yep.
As opposed to shoes on the other foot, and you say, well, okay, cool, there isn't anyone here, how do I get more people here?
Yep.
It's like, who do I know? Have a chat to the marketing department. Go back through all your old leads that never closed. It's like, actually get on the front foot and make that change yourself.
Be proactive.
Yeah, totally. It's like, take responsibility for your situation. So the viewpoint now is, everything is 100% within my control. And if something goes wrong, then I put myself in that position, no one else.
Yep.
Because then I've got an opportunity to be able to change it. I've got control and power over that. Whether that is, I've got to ask Lockie for help to help me change it, that's okay. But if it's just me standing here trying to fight the whole world and it's the world's fault, man, that's a tough burden
to have.
You know, it's killer. And you just lose all of your powers.
Yep.
It's your fault, not mine. That's your responsibility, not mine. And good luck.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges are with
learning to accept responsibility, like as a especially as a male, like
I think trying to get your head around the fact that by accepting responsibility you actually have control, because it's like, okay, cool, I accept responsibility for the fact that I'm not making sales, now what do I do? It's like that next step forward.
Yeah.
And that next step forward, when you accept responsibility for something, might not always be a clear path. And for you to actually figure out what that is, you actually have to become a different person to a point.
So
learn a new thing. Old you didn't know what that was. New you does. New you behaves differently now based on that new information. And it's like, that's a scary little thing to come up with.
Definitely.
Because people go, oh, I don't want to change. And it's like, well, you don't want to change, but you want to get rid of this problem, which would mean you would have to change, right?
Yep.
So you're going to need to have a new skill, because the box that you're picking up all your ideas from is what you know, and potentially some of the stuff that you know you don't know, but the stuff you don't know, you don't know. That's where the answer to the question is coming from.
Yep.
And to go and do that, you're going to have to go and find a bookstore and pick up a book you never knew existed, potentially.
Yep. And
could be how that works.
Definitely.
You know, that could be it. It could be Googling something you've never Googled before. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yep.
You know, or talking to a person you didn't know existed.
I'm hoping this episode reaches a lot of people, because there was a point in my life where I didn't know, and you were the same, where you didn't realize you could actually change or grow. Like, I thought when I was drinking a lot, doing all that sort of stuff, I was just like, well, this is who I am, like, because my whole environment was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, when I saw people who were doing better than me or whatever, I was just like, oh, they got lucky, they were born into that, they had money or they had opportunity. And once again, blaming, not taking responsibility.
100%.
Oh, that's all I did. And I don't even know where I'm going with that now, but it's just like, there was a point in my life, and for those who are listening, like, one of the biggest things I want is more people to get their hands on, whether it's this podcast or just gift, like, I gift books to people.
Yep.
I got my whole locker across the road at the gym has the Four Agreements in it, or whatever book I'll buy next, but because I want to gift it to people, because that's what changed my life, is getting that book for me. But it was how to buy a house for a dollar.
Yep.
I just giving people and exposing them to things that they don't even know exist can completely change someone's life.
Yeah, totally. I think that's the other thing that I think gets people stuck is that, yeah, but if I wasn't doing this, what would I do? Like, that's the hard thing too. It's like, if you were to paint your own painting, so your life is a blank canvas, so to speak, while we're using, you know, dime a dozen cliches here.
Yeah.
and that was your life now. You had zero in front of you. So what would you want to create? It's like the little kid. I ask my mates all the time. It's like, when you were a little kid, what did you want to do? Was it to be an insurance broker? I was like, get the fuck out of here. No one knows what an insurance broker is.
Exactly.
It's like, what did you want to do? And I know it sounds like a pretty absurd question to ask a 34-year-old or a 35-year-old, but at the same time, it's just put your thinking cap on. And that's another thing that I did as well. Once I started going down this path, it was, okay, what are my skills? What would I love to do if I had the opportunity? And just write.
Yep.
Like, don't stop writing until you can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Just write and write and write. And then once you finish writing, leave it there, come back to it the next day, and then go back and either add to it or cross out all the ones that you just think, nah, and get your top five.
Yep.
And then do some research on it and figure out what opportunities could be inside of that.
Our journeys are so similar, because I did the same thing. And that's even now, while people ask why I don't do certain things or do that, because I'm so clear, like, I've done that and I understand what my life wants to look like from a holistic.
Yep.
And when I say holistic, I take into account money, lifestyle, flexibility, you know, relationships, all that sort of stuff. That's what that means to me. But I'm not all, like, money to me is just a way to, you know, have things that I want. I don't really give a fuck about status or looking successful. So I'm never going to do things just for money. It has to align with my values and has to be building on something greater with what I'm doing. And I feel a lot of people, especially, you know, providers, whether it's the male or female in the relationship, get so consumed with their career that their health falls, their relationship sacrifice, like, fall apart, and then they wake up one day and they go, fuck, I'm just not happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, my goal for myself is to, even if it takes longer, but to build that balance from the beginning, so I don't get to a point where I look back and go, geez, I'm missing this, or having to, you know, drop 30 kilos because I've neglected my health.
Yeah.
And it sounds exactly like what you've done in terms of sitting there and mapping out who Max is and what my life wants to look like.
Yeah. I stumbled across that one because I was doing the whole online job sort of business creation. And that was a part of their process.
Yep.
Which was just the good life process to go through.
Yeah.
Which is what, and I actually use it with a lot of mates now whenever we have the conversation or it comes on, gets onto that. It's like, yeah, but how do you even know? So you just don't. Like, that's the answer, is you don't know.
Yep.
And that's why people don't move, is because they get comfortable, and comfortable, even though it's not the best or the greatest, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Right? You know, this is all right. And it's like, it's what everyone else is doing. And it's like, but that's where the outliers are. That's where the people who are happiest are the ones that are actually willing to go into a field of rocks and turn them all over to see what's underneath everything. It's like, you've actually got to go out there and look. It's not going to come to you.
It requires work.
Yeah, like, I know. It doesn't come to you in a, you know, you might find a cool Netflix documentary that floats up every now and then, but it's not the best place to go searching.
True. Very true. Very true. People don't, yeah, I find a lot of people, and both of our journeys are fairly similar. Like, how many different career changes have you had?
Oh, spent a lot of time in hospitality, car sales. I've worked in a hospital, labouring, house demolition. Yeah, all sorts of shit.
See, and I've done some similar stuff. Like, and to me, even when I hear that, I'm like, back in the day, I would have said, get your shit together. You're doing all these odd jobs. And I don't know if you ever felt like that's how you were living. But even for the same with me, like, I went footy, did a trade, then I was like working in pubs. Like, I've done all these things, and I was like, I have no idea who I am. And a lot of people are doing that. And that has got us to where we are right now.
Yeah.
Like, totally. If we'd have just been like, I don't really know what I want to do, so I'm just going to stay here until it, you know, all of a sudden it comes to me. It's like, the best thing I found is like, saying yes, figuring it out, and just realizing, all right, tick that off because I don't like that. I'm one step closer to finding what I do like.
Yeah.
Or you meet someone who might take you somewhere else. But if you're staying where you are, you're guaranteed to keep getting the same result.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you've got to change the picture you're looking at, and get out there and go and experience some stuff.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as picking up a book, or it could be, a lot of people like to go and find themselves overseas. It's not actually it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, I went overseas to spend 6 months in South America. It wasn't to find myself, because I didn't. But what I did find out is that what we have over here is actually pretty special.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a cool thing that I learned. But I wasn't ready to hear the rest of it.
Yep.
As in, well, cool, I've got that info. What do I do with it? Another thing, though, that with the perspective and with the searching and all that sort of stuff, it's very easy to discount a lot of this stuff as well. Searching and writing it down and figuring it out and doing all that sort of stuff. But it's the same with relationships. And this is the biggest one for me inside of that world, was I used to try and get away from the commitment inside my relationship. It's now 12 years on, and we're about to get married within like the next month. And the one thing I always said at the start of the relationship, right up until probably like 9 years in, was I'm not having kids and I'm not getting married. I also said I wasn't buying a house, and now we own three of them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, and I'm looking for more all the time.
Yeah.
It's like that how to buy a house for a dollar. It didn't quite work out, but hey, you can still purchase it.
$2.
The thing that got me with that was, is something I learned in the last couple of years was, and it was about commitment. It's what we say we're committed to.
Yep.
And then, are our actions actually driving towards that commitment?
Yep.
And the one way, again, man, I'm just going to keep coming with these cliches, but the grass is greener on the other side. And the way I look at that now is that the reason the grass is greener on the other side is because the guys on the other side of the fence are actually watering their grass.
Yep.
They're actually nurturing it and going through the work, putting the work in to make sure
it's
good.
Great way to look at it.
Is that, well, it's the commitment bit. You say you're committed, what are your actions telling you?
Yep.
It's like, it's... You say you want to save, or you say you don't have enough money. It's like, look at your bank account and how you're spending.
Yep.
It's like, well, you can't have one without, you know,
the other.
Sacrificing something or adding something in there. You've got to actually put the work in for it. And as soon as that penny dropped for me, my whole perspective, even after I'd had this shift in like, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to change, and I'm going to go and find the thing I really love. Even after all that, it was like 2.5 years later, I figured this commitment thing out, and I was just like, oh, damn. I have not been showing up in my relationship.
Yep.
And everything just went, like, again, relationships are still super hard.
Yep.
And then they'll never be easy, but if your perspective shifts and it's about commitment, you'll take the good with the bad, and it's all a byproduct. Because without frustration and without stress and challenge, as you know, as a PT as well,
yep.
you can't grow muscle. Yep. You can't grow if you don't have frustration, because you just sit in comfort. No one who's comfortable has ever grown to something else. It's like, it's crazy to think about it. And you go,
it's a brilliant way of looking at it, because relationships are exactly that. Like, people, the honeymoon phase, when you get together, you think about it, you put all this work in to try and get the attention, then you try to be this romantic individual and always try and show up, listen, care. Yep. And then, you know, after 3 to 6 months, we get comfortable, we get complacent, and we stop working, we stop putting the work in, we stop challenging each other. We're worried about upsetting each other, so we don't have those challenging conversations, or a lot of people don't. But like you said, like, we need all those growing pains to, because you don't want to be the same people in 10 years time.
And we're not, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't expect to be, is that, and that's what I said, is that I said to a few, I've got a few mates who are single guys, and they'll go out there and they'll meet women and do the Tinder thing, and they'll be having a good time.
Yep.
But then they're super lonely too, and they don't kind of own up to that fact. And I said to a mate recently, I was like, man, the person I met on day one is not the same person I'm going out with now. It's like, that shit took a lot of work. And there'd be half a dozen times there where it should not have worked. Like, yep. I did some fucking stupid shit. And if she wasn't so consistent and a far bigger person than I am, then this never would have worked at all. Like, yep. I wouldn't be in the position I am in now. And I owe a lot of it to Jackie and her sticking it out and working yep. on it and that. And I only said it, I was cooking a barbecue last week.
Yeah.
And something popped up in conversation, and I actually said, in my head, I was like, I've never thanked you for that. And I thanked her for it, and she was like, oh, wow. So the things you don't say, you just think, and you go, you have that realization, but you don't tell the people who are actually most important to you. So yeah, without that, it's just that, it's the missing piece. It's like, I had a cool person around me, I kept trying to push her away, and I wasn't willing to put the work in and the commitment and all the things I thought I wouldn't get, because if I committed and I was going to get married and have kids, and I wouldn't be able to go traveling and meet new people and do all this stuff. Actually, I've done so much more of that than I would have done if I was by myself.
Yep.
And that's the unpredictability of this change. You go through the change, you don't know who you're going to be on the other side of it, but it's pretty cool. When you get there, you go, oh shit, didn't realize that was a thing. And you get excited, you go looking for it.
That goes back to sort of one of the other things we want to talk, and we've been speaking about it a fair bit, getting past the fear of the unknown. Like, people get, and the brain is designed to keep us safe. Like, many other amazing things, but like, as soon as we get fearful, it's like, nope, not doing that.
Not interested.
And why do you sort of feel that is, and how is that, you know, have you learned to manage that to move forward?
I think it's just more about, I don't know why it is. Like, what you said there pretty much sums up, I reckon, the why bit. I think the how we get through that and work on it is that I think we put too much onus on what people will think about us if we fail.
Yep.
And that's fairly general as well. For everyone else, it's going to be a different type of fear here or there or whatever it might be. Yep. But the fact that we're always worrying about what the external response to the thing that we're going out there to create is, it's like, if you worried about what everybody was telling you, you never would have started the Man That Can project.
Yep.
And the unpredictable part of that is that if you do start it and forget about what everyone says, and you only focus on the people who it's for, you now fill a room like you did last night with 20 awesome human beings, and then you get this old guy from fucking the UK or whatever, who's now interacting with 18-year-olds. These guys have never met, and now they're having a conversation and actually helping each other unstick their lives.
Yep.
It's like, that shit's not predictable. Like, you get into that room, you get goosebumps and you go, holy shit, I had no idea when I started this that thing was gonna happen.
Happen, exactly.
And that scares the shit out of people, because there's no way to know what that looks like. It's like, I wanna create a podcast, I wanna create a group of guys, but you don't know what each interaction is going to come from. You don't know who's going to pick that up and then run with it. You don't know who's going to come in and tell you that it's shit and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You just don't know that stuff. And to try and to focus on those things and let that dictate how you move and are, that's why we're all comfortable.
Yep.
That's why comfortable is so cool, is because I know what this looks like.
Creates
that routine. There's no fear inside of this comfort on my couch, in my car, going to the same part of the beach or going to the same gym, or having the same mates, having the same conversations, drinking the same beer, the same wine. you know, just doing the same stuff. I figured that out.
Sweet. When you were just naming all those things, I was like, yeah, I'll go to the same beach. Like, yeah. It's funny, like in all aspects, like if you don't shake it up somewhere, you're going to just get stale.
It's like drive to work a different way than you usually do.
True.
It's like just simple stuff. It's like just change shit up, because you drive to work a different way. Who knows what you see?
I don't know.
Yeah. You might run into a mate at a light that you haven't seen for 10 years. Who knows? It's just like everything is super unpredictable. Super unpredictable. Like when I started that that journey to go on to figure out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I actually had a year or two ago, the guy I work for now, I actually unfriended him on Facebook because I wasn't into the whole making money online and business thing. I was just like, this is shit.
Yep.
So I could fucking plugging up my Facebook feed. You're out. And then a couple of years later, I then found him again on Facebook, not because I was looking, but because he popped up because we went to school together.
Yep.
And I friended him again. He called me up, we started having a chat. Over the next 2 years, we just talked about business and copywriting and marketing. And from that, he then offered me a job.
That's phenomenal.
Like it came out of nowhere. Wasn't looking for one, didn't need one. I'd started freelance copywriting by that point, and I was on my path, doing my thing and trying to figure it out. It was grindy, and I wasn't quite a fit, but I was doing something that I created.
Yep.
And then that happened, and now that's why I get to talk to you. It's like, if I don't have all that, then I don't get
We're
to
not
sit
here right now.
I don't get to sit here and have this conversation. And when I first started, I didn't think, you know, in 5 years' time, I hope I meet a guy in Brisbane, we're on a podcast together at a cafe that we come and hang out. It's like, the coolest bit is that I never planned that.
Yeah, it's unpredictability. You know? That's true.
That's the fun bit.
Tell us a bit more about what you're doing now. Like, obviously I said at the start what your goal is, but like, fill us in a little bit more about, obviously, when I first saw you walking around in an influencer project shot, I was like, is he working on social media? Like, is he going to make me Insta famous?
Nah, not quite.
Damn it.
Yeah. Not that sort of influencer, unfortunately. No, I work for a company called The Influencer Project, and I'm a business coach for service-based businesses. At the moment, we're focusing solely on business coaches themselves.
Yep.
We help them grow their business online using LinkedIn and a bunch of other strategies that we help to sort of exponentially grow by building communities under those guys.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool, because I get to use all this stuff that I've learned to help these guys get unstuck in their lives as well.
Yep.
You know as well as I do is that business isn't just about business, or relationships not just about relationship. It's the core stuff. It's your relationships, it's your business, it's your health, it's your mental
well-being, and fortitude,
all that sort of stuff. It's everything, and people try and focus on one thing, and then all the other stuff starts to crumble around them, and they're going, I can't do more than one thing at a time. And I was like, yeah, you can, you just don't have that information yet.
Exactly.
And that's where we come in, is that we're not there to help them with their health and their fitness and all that sort of stuff, but we're there to give them perspective on the things that they can't see.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we fit in.
And that's incredible to hear, literally. And there's a lot more that, you know, we spoke about the other day, of how you've got from where you were in your life, from having all those different jobs to now being where you are now. But how's your life changed since you've been working at the Influencer Project?
I had a conversation with my mum the other day.
Yep.
And she actually had no idea what I do, which is pretty common for a lot of people when they see me and they hear what I talk about and all that sort of stuff. Yep. It's like, what do you guys actually do?
Yeah.
But she had no idea what I did and why I was doing it.
Yep.
And the thing that I do now is that I actually fucking love what I do.
Yep.
And when I get out of bed and do it, I'm really keen to be there. Like, I've got nowhere else to be at that particular point in time. That's the thing that's shifted for me is that I didn't know that existed. Yeah, Dad used to tell me about it, but I know that he didn't have it.
Yep.
And the reason he told me about it was because that's what he wanted for me.
Right.
He had no idea how to get it. He wasn't helping me get it. Yep. He just said it. And because he wasn't particularly enjoying his job at the time.
Yep.
And then I figured out what that was, but I had to figure out a lot of other shit to get to that point. It might not have been this job, but it was the people I'm surrounded with. It's not about the money, like you said. And that was a perplexing idea to me as well.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got nothing to do with money. But now I actually get to put all those little things that I figured out and they dropped into the bucket, and then you start to look around in the people in your life closest to you and realize that they're having the same struggles you are.
Yep.
You've just come upon this thing and a way to fix it, or way to streamline it. And that 2 or 3 years that I've spent with the guys at the Influencer Project have been just out of control, and it keeps happening. It's like you don't just figure this stuff out and you get comfortable again and you go, yeah, yeah, figured it out.
Yeah, school.
Everything's going to go, you know, great. It's still just as unpredictable, if not more so than ever, because you flex that muscle, it gets bigger, you add more, the bucket gets bigger, you throw more shit into it.
Yep.
Your capacity grows as a human being, is that you have bigger conversations, you have better conversations, you move away from those shitty barroom chats about fucking girls and sex and getting drunk, all that sort of stuff. It's like they're still there, but you don't go looking for that anymore.
Yep.
You actually look for real connection. It's like hanging out with you,
yep,
and having those conversations. And when I found out about what you did at this particular time, is it fate? I don't know, but it's not for a want of fucking looking for the right people to be in your life. And that's the thing, is that you start to realize what somebody's worth as a human being.
Yep.
And if they don't have what you're particularly looking for, it's like, how can you help them with what they're dealing with?
Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, it comes solely down to just asking more questions. It's like, if you can ask more questions about the people in your life and actually give a shit about the response, not just waiting to talk.
Yes, exactly.
Then you're gonna get so much. And asking better questions. It's like, what are you up to? As into, like, how's the family going? It's like, what's actually happening?
Yeah, that was one of the best things Coach said to me a couple of years ago, is like, if you want a better fucking answer, ask better questions.
Yeah.
And even that, I'm like, well, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Start listening to podcasts. I literally listen to like Oprah and start listening to some of the questions they ask people to get deep with people. And I started, that's what I did.
Mm.
I didn't just, and then wrote down questions, listened to Tim Ferriss, like all these people, and you start learning better questions. And you're like,
yeah,
actually, it's all learnable.
I think the other one too there, I've just discounted a little there, is that while asking better questions is great, actually sharing your story with people,
yeah,
sharing the shit that you've never shared with people before, who are your best friends, that will open up a gap for them to be able to do the same as
well.
So if you get vulnerable with people, I suppose that's the ticket.
Vulnerable.
Is that, yeah, that vulnerability, is that you're actually going to share something like what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's like, not a lot of people that I know would know this story, like extended circles.
Yep.
Some of my mates have seen it. They don't realize that's what it was when it was happening.
Yep.
But they know something's changing.
Yep.
They know that this guy is not the same bloke. He's on about something now. He looks like he's got something different going on. Don't know what it is.
It's funny you say
that.
But
it's interesting to watch.
I was just having the same thoughts as you were talking. I was like, I wonder how many of my mates actually know my real story. Like,
yeah, it's like
you sit on the sidelines and assume.
Yeah.
Part.
We have this conversation and sharing's great and all that sort of thing, but you then start to realize, who haven't I told this to?
It's yeah.
Like my mum. I see my mum all the time. And she had no idea. I told her that and she started to cry and I was just like, what? And then that meant Dad didn't know either.
Yep.
And then Dad's living in this world around who I am and what I am based on his old information.
Yeah.
The guy plays soccer, he doesn't play soccer anymore. What am I supposed to talk to him about? That's kind of Dad's whole thing. It's like, he actually doesn't know who I am and I didn't realize that, which means I haven't been talking to him.
Yeah.
And you're like, if I haven't been talking to him, he doesn't know who I am. How good's that relationship?
It's fucking amazing. No?
On the surface, it looks good. Oh yeah, Dad, great. He cooked me a barbecue, cooked me breakfast.
Yep.
You know, we'll have a beer.
But where's the substance?
So I might as well be, you know, 6 years, 7 years ago down at the pub with the boys.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same fucking spot, but with my dad.
It's fucking very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
What's one thing you would have loved to have told 18-year-old Maxie? I know that's a standard question, but if you could give yourself some advice, what would it be?
That's a good question. It'd have to be something to do with considering other people's points of view and the perspective that they're coming at it with. So what their worldview is versus your worldview.
Yep.
Is very seldom going to be exactly the same. In most cases, it will never be the same.
Yeah.
And there's, 7.8 billion people on the planet?
A lot of people.
That's a lot of worldviews.
Yeah.
you know, exactly. to consider that yours is the only one and it's the right one, that's mental, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So coming into conversations, listening to people, asking better questions, and sharing your thoughts on a subject as opposed to trying to force an opinion on people.
Yeah, of course.
I know it all. You can't tell me what to do. Get out of that mindset, because you'll always get what you've always got with that mindset. That's blaming the world on your responsibilities as opposed to owning them. Yeah, you really got to be vulnerable in that spot and go, you know what? Maybe I don't know the answer to this question. Even though I think I do and it's worked before, doesn't mean there's not another way.
Drop the ego.
Yeah. That's probably the best way to put it in a word. Yeah.
Drop the
ego. Gone to CrossFit long enough and I haven't see that on the wall every day.
Yeah, drop the ego. Leave the ego at the door.
That'd be the best way to put it.
So where can we find you, Maxine? I'm gonna put all this in the show notes for those who wanna actually read the links and stuff.
Yep.
That'll be available. But where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram. They're just personal accounts, so Instagram, which is Max Latimer Logic. There's one there for Facebook as well, which I think is Max Latimer Logic 84.
Correct. Yeah.
And then the Influencer Project is where you can find me inside of that world for business and stuff like that. That's kind of where I play most of the time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Maxie, thanks so much for coming on. I've got a heap of value.
Appreciate it. Yeah, awesome. Man, it's been fun.
And I know we'll definitely be doing another episode in the future.
Yeah, sweet.
Because there's still more I know about you, which I want everyone else to know as well. We'll go into depth on other topics along the way.
Cool.
So if you guys have any questions for Maxie, obviously you can get in contact with him through the links provided below. And yeah, we'll have him back on soon. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.